Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Christmas cooking clinic time. Brian McDermott is here, Nevin Maguire is here, and they're going to answer your questions now over the next half an hour or so, because we want to avoid the dinner disasters on Christmas Day. You can text us if you have any last minute cries for help to 51551. Hello to you both.
Morning, Claire. How are you, Claire?
Thank you so much for being here.
That's great.
What's that open tin of brown stuff that you have?
Claire. Well, it's probably a question some of your listeners will ask about leftovers, and this is a satay sauce that you can make.
Oh, yes, I've tried this one.
Yeah,
this is great.
We were doing it in the cookery school last weekend, and I said, this is perfect. You can put in your leftover turkey ham into it, and it's gorgeous. And if you have a vegetarian coming, you can pack it with vegetables.
Right. Well, you better take us through that now so that people know how to do. Yeah.
Okay, so it's very simple. Good coconut milk. Okay, really nice full fat coconut milk. A little bit of sweet chili sauce gives a little bit of sweetness. Coconut milk, and then some lime juice into that and brown sugar. And you just warm that all up. It's so simple. And then you add in your vegetables. So I have some peppers in that, some red and green peppers, yellow peppers. You can put onion into it, garlic into it. I like to keep it simple. And then some baby corns.
Yeah, it's just a great way to use up the turkey, because on day three, like, you're done, aren't you? You get the St. Stephen's Day out of the roast turkey dinner, but then you're finished with it.
You're done when you've had your third sandwich and you're making it a triple decker.
You're right.
To try, you know, you're trying to do that version. Use up the cheese that you didn't really like. And then the chutney that you're going, I'm not sure about that one. That's the time to give in and say, right,
yes,
it's an all-in recipe for using the turkey.
Or a pie or something. There's crunchy peanut butter too that gives a lovely texture to
lovely.
It.
Lovely. Well, listen, that's a great one for, I think, the 27th. But I want to go back now to the 25th, right?
For the basics.
So I have loads of questions here in front of me. But the first one is a good place to start, because it is the starter. And they want to know what kind of tips you'd have for a different sort of starter that you can prep ahead. So usually in this house they have fish cakes, melon or prawn salads. So they want something easy to prep ahead.
That's gorgeous.
Yeah, and look, it is about keeping it easy, but it's about understanding your own family. Who's there? Who's your guest? What would they like? What has kind of, you know, made them go throughout the year? God, I love that. That's something different. And if so, push those boundaries and go there. It might be seafood. It might be the smoked salmon. It might be those simple, take it out, bring it up to room temperature. It could be the prawn cocktail. It could be a little bit of crab in there alongside it. Or even yesterday we were talking about, you did a lovely dish, which was a hot version of
a prawn.
With chorizo,
yeah.
The oil coming out of it, it was delicious. A bit of bread to mop it up, just simply toast it.
We put in that lovely, you know, that nandua, which is that lovely kind of spicy sausage, which was gorgeous, Claire. And I think kids, like my kids, would certainly like it. Lovely fresh prawns. And it was done in maybe five, 6 minutes.
So into the pan, really,
it was a warm starter with sourdough, as you said, Brian,
You know, and you could have two versions. You could have, you know, prawns two ways. Be fancy, have a cold version, have it done, have it
You're
in
very
the
posh.
Is under pressure now.
You're very posh.
But, you know, I notice a lot of people come back to the likes of, you know, just having a nice warming soup. Mm-hmm. Or even vol-au-vents always gets mentioned.
That's true.
And you're like,
you see, you don't want anything too heavy, because you're going to have a monster dinner versus your main course.
I agree.
I hope so. So you want to keep it light.
You do, yeah. And I think that's where the kind of the cold eat works well. And particularly, you know, if you go towards the seafood, because we don't eat much seafood throughout the year, and we kind of think this is an occasion. We will go for the smoked salmon, or, you know, we will go to the shellfish. And there's some great options out there, like, that are literally just ready to open, room temperature, little dressing on them. Yeah. Always get lemon in there. Get fresh dill in there, get a little bit of a dipping mopping sauce alongside it, get brown bread. You know, we have a recipe here today for beautiful brown bread. Make that 2 days in advance, slice it, serve it on the table. That's a nice way just to settle into the meal, I think. Then take a good break before the main course.
Yeah, good long break. So, and all of these recipes, by the way, you're giving us, they're up on our website.
Absolutely.
So people can go and find them there. Now, before we leave the starter, I just want to talk to you a little bit more about the crab meat, Brian, because you're saying dress it nicely and put the lemon in, but I want to know exactly what you're doing with
it. I think with crab, like, you know, you mentioned coconut milk earlier. You know, you can even get creamed coconut milk. You know, you can grate coconut into it. You need to get, with any fish in general, you need to get zest in there, because we know that it's naturally salty. So you need that sort of, you know, sourness, bitterness, just to amplify it a little bit. You know, you can put a little bit of kind of chili jam, sweet chili
mango,
sauce.
Mango looks really good.
Anything that takes you kind of to know that you're having crab, knowing you're having that sort of saltiness, get the freshness of the sea, but just a little hint in the other direction of something sour, bitter, a little bit of heat.
Mix it all through.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just make it look nice.
That's
in
it.
How you serve it.
Nice toasted bread, Claire. That's it. Keep it simple. Little croutons, you know, even in a little bit of cod, you can have a little starter. This is a little soup I bought for you, and it's a chestnut and mushroom soup, and you can make this a vegetarian version. We just cook some onions, some chestnuts, because you get them in the supermarket. A lot of people say, what do I do with chestnuts? You know, you have a lovely recipe for stuffing, but in a soup, it's delicious. First time I tasted chestnut soup was in Paris. I never had it before, and I wanted to create this. You get dried wild mushrooms, you soak them in boiling water, and you blend them all with some stock, a little touch of cream. Madeira is a fantastic fortified wine in this, or port, and it's really good in your gravy, so you can multi-use it. Finished it with some cream, a little bit of thyme, so there's no flour in it. It's a lovely light soup. It's not going to be heavy, but it's lovely and festive.
Right.
So there's wild mushrooms and chestnuts.
But don't eat too much bread with that.
That's it. That's exactly it.
You'll be able for your dinner, says Mammy. Next one. Happy Christmas all. Thank you very much. How long do you parboil the potatoes for roasting?
That really depends. Part on the size, doesn't it, Brian?
Yeah, it does. Look, I mean, depending on how you cut them, but literally get them in, get a fork or knife in till you feel they're just holding themselves. Drain them. You know, we were talking about this driving today. You were saying about draining, teeming, we used to call it, teeming the water out of it. Drain it and then shake it in there just to ruffle them up a little bit. And then I think with roasties in general, make sure you heat the living daylights out of your tray. Get that into the oven. Don't put, like, you know, semi-warm kind of potatoes onto the tray. Drizzle with loads of oil because you'll never get enough heat.
Would you heat the oil and the, I don't know what you use now.
Yeah,
separately.
Like, well, you need oil, and then if you want to, you know, go your duck fat or your goose fat to give you that depth.
And do you heat that in the oven first?
I do personally, because, you know, that's bringing the tray and the oil up to temperature. Try bringing all three up to temperature. It just won't work. You won't get that nice caramelized roast effect. So heat the tray dry, bring it out, and then put the oil over the potatoes into the hot tray. You should hear that sizzle straight away. And even things like, you know, when you're taking that tray out and you're about to do that, close the oven door behind you. Because every time you open that oven door, 30% of the heat
escapes.
You're
losing the heat, yeah.
And if you turn around 2 minutes later, that oven's gone down to 30 degrees rather than 180.
Now, can you roll your potatoes in your oil and then leave them and not put them in? Can you do it in advance?
Sometimes if you're stuck at, like, Christmas Eve, they're better done fresh, to be honest with you, like Brian says.
Can't
if you're
get
a little bit
that,
of time
no.
pressure, a nice floury potato. My mother used to put the tea towel over the potatoes and dry them out. And the key is to undercook them rather than overcook them, because then they're going to be mush. And as Brian says, duck fat is glorious. And some beautiful whole roast garlic and rosemary. That's it. That's what I'll be doing.
And an hour in the oven, would you
about
say?
About that, 40 minutes.
Again, look, they're going to be cooked, but what you want is the colour. Go by that kind of visual and that caramelisation.
Crunch.
And turn them over, and they should be light and crispy. The tray should almost nearly bounce on your counter from the heat when it comes out. Like, that's the energy you need in this to get
Use oven gloves.
Crack goes the counter. Now, that listener as well practiced the ham but found that it was a bit dry when they reheated it. So any tips if you are prepping the ham in advance and you're hoping to heat it up on
Christmas
Day? A
little bit of stock over it, I think, works really well. Butter, you know, you can reheat it like that. I'll certainly be cooking the ham a day or two ahead. I'll have it glazed. I have a lovely ham glaze here that I do with red currant jelly, honey, a little bit of allspice, which is a lovely little ingredient that I only use once a year, and some cloves, and brush that over your ham, a little touch of balsamic vinegar. So the recipe is on your website, but you just brush it over the cold ham, slice it them, and then a little bit of stock to warm it up in the oven.
So you're slicing it, then you're reheating it.
Exactly.
So that's where the stock comes in. That
makes
might help
easier.
With the dryness. This poor devil is having 15 people for dinner. How do I make sure that everything is hot enough when I'm plating it up for so many? Or should I just do a buffet style?
Yeah, that's good for 15 people. And I think people do get caught up in, you know, I've only got one oven, I've only got so much space. But, you know, trust that particularly the turkey, particularly the ham, we call it resting, leaving it out on the counter. But when it comes out of the oven, there's a lot of energy in meat because it's muscle. And when you let it relax, the two things happen. Firstly, it drops to an eating temperature. Our eating temperature on average is somewhere around about 72 to 75 degrees. That's when we appreciate and we like food. So don't worry about it being 15 to 20 minutes sitting there relaxing. And maybe in the oven, you're just warming the plates at the end, or you're finishing the roasties. You know, it's like timings. When the turkey comes out, I put the ham glaze on and in goes the ham. Roasties are going at that stage.
All right, so you're very relaxed about this now, whereas I'd be trying to serve the potatoes directly out of the oven, taking the heads off everybody with the heat, because they're crispy, you know, you don't want them to go.
You're right.
No.
I like putting them into big bowls and let everyone help themselves. Yeah. I like that idea of kind of that buffet style. As Brian says, with the turkey resting it, wrap it in two sheets of tin foil, even a nice kind of like clean tea towel, and keep it in a warm area. You got to rest that. Your ham, you can have it already sliced and bring that to the table. Hot hot plates, that's key. Mm-hmm. So food doesn't go cold.
Yeah.
And this, we can't forget about the buttermilk turkey.
Oh, yeah.
Because everybody asks about this every Christmas.
But that's what I'm going to be doing this year too.
That's a staple for you, isn't
it? Yeah, it's the breast. I mean, I haven't cooked a full turkey in ages. And I brine it in for 2 days in buttermilk, sliced orange, garlic, rosemary. Mm. And there's an enzyme in buttermilk that actually keeps the most wonderful, succulent, moist turkey because it's very lean meat. And then I lift it out of the buttermilk. This is very important. Dry it off and then kind of smear that butter. I rolled some butter here with some orange zest, lemon zest, some herbs, a wee bit of garlic all over the breast of the turkey.
Do you put that under the skin?
Yeah, you can, absolutely. And then smoked bacon on top and then into the oven, some vegetables, a little bit of water. Honestly, it's so easy to cook, so easy to carve, and you're going to have the best turkey. Two days in the fridge.
We always think about the poor woman who put the turkey into the oven in the buttermilk and got on to you then and said you
ruined
the
Christmas. She rang the restaurant and she said, I ruined her Christmas dinner, and I sent her a book and say she threw it in the oven or in the bin.
Not making his stuff anymore. For Nevin, this is from Irene, can you freeze your recipe for Brussels sprout crumble? That's your recipe now for the Brussels sprout crumble. Can you freeze that in advance?
Well, I've never done it. See, when you freeze like a white sauce, so it's just for your listeners, it's Brussels sprouts that are steamed. I think it is. You make a white sauce with some nutmeg. We were doing it yesterday on the show. And what you do is you power cook your Brussels sprouts, some leftover ham or smoked bacon, red onion over the sprouts. It can be done 2 or 3 days ahead, which is fantastic.
And just kept in the fridge then.
Exactly. And then some breadcrumbs, Claire, and some walnuts. And it's glorious. It's so tasty. So it is a different and interesting way of cooking sprouts because there's nothing worse than sprouts that are overcooked, stinking the house.
I feel funny about the freezer anyway.
So do I. I think it's split in the brain.
Yeah, a lot of people have no confidence in the freezer, but you know, it is there to preserve. I think we need to remind people of that. Mm-hmm. And even when we're talking about freezer, you know, some people might have a frozen turkey and it's important that they time that right to take it out and defrost. And it's not out in the utility. It's not out in the kitchen. It's in your fridge and it's going to take a full turkey on the bone nearly 2 days to thoroughly defrost. And that's important to say.
Really important to say because you can imagine taking it out the night before.
Christmas Eve, very day. Dangerous
Here,
to try.
Some of my Christmas cake that I made.
Oh, I love some.
We saw this on social media.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
I don't know.
Are we literally critiquing this?
Well, you can do what you want. I don't mind.
I'm very impressed.
Listen, my first time to make it, so will you just be kind?
Colour is amazing.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
it's okay. It's
really
a bit
gorgeous. Opened up beautifully.
You know what? It's a bit strong for me.
Very moist. In what sense?
Just a bit rich.
That's beautiful. Oh, my God.
Do you like it?
That's glorious.
I put loads of brandy in.
I love it. I can tell.
An awful lot of brandy.
I can tell. Good on you. The more the better. That's beautiful.
It's okay. I think I left it in a bit too long.
No,
and my mother's is better because
You're lovely and generous with your fruit.
Yeah, I love that.
You soaked the fruit?
Yeah, it's opened up. I followed all the instructions and I got more instructions.
Where'd you get the recipe?
It's a Mary Berry recipe, but you see, I can't really say it's a Mary Berry recipe because my mother helped me then.
I love it. It's gorgeous. Well done, Claire.
You have to say that.
It's beautiful.
Listen, let's keep going with the questions. Right, so here's Sinead. I'm contemplating cooking my turkey and ham on Christmas Eve this year because of a biggish crowd to cook for. So I was wondering, could you ask the chefs if that would be possible? And if so, what's the best way to do it? So let's say we've dealt with the ham now because we've sliced that up. Mm-hmm. Reheating the turkey if you've cooked it in advance. Is that a good idea?
You can do it. And look, cook the turkey thoroughly per the instructions. Cool it. Again, if you're going to cool it, if it's a whole turkey, it needs to go into the fridge. There's no leaving this out overnight. No. I have to stress that again.
True.
So if you've done it on Christmas Eve, cool it into the fridge. Once it's cooled, bring it out and then slice it. So if you're slicing it, lay it out on a tray with parchment paper. Pour a little bit of stock because you're kind of doing then is you're going to steam it. Tin foil over the top of it. Seal it like a vacuum with that tin foil really tight to the tray and in an oven at about 140. Remember when you're reheating, you're just bringing it up to eating temperature. What does cooking do? Kills bacteria in raw meat. This time you're reheating just for the comfort of you going, that's a lovely warm meal. So you could have two trays, one sliced with a turkey, one sliced with a ham, or you could go a step further and you could do the old traditional hotel style where you have the ham in the bottom,
that's
a little bit of stuffing
and the stuffing
turkey on the top and again bit of stock and tin foil and just warm it and reheat it that way
That's a good way to do it, isn't it?
It is until somebody doesn't like stuffing, they go, oh, I don't want stuffing, and
I don't mind that. They can scrape it
and I think a wee piece of butter on top, like I do that. I probably have 12 portions on a tray because you know I'm cooking for 40 odd people this Christmas and they'll come and they'll take it away, my friend, and that. But I roll up the stuffing. I'll have that made now this weekend. Slice it. So a slice of ham, two slices of stuffing, some of the breast. I've no leg meat, by the way. And then just a little bit of butter and stock and double wrap it in tinfoil.
Listen, you have your Christmas cracker of stuffing there. Which I know you always make in advance, but talk us through what's in it, because this is, people are doing this now today, probably, and tomorrow. If they have sense, they're getting this out of the way. So what are you putting in there?
And it's a great thing. It'll keep for, you know, at least a week in your fridge. So breadcrumbs, cooked off some onion, some dried apricots and dried cranberries, which are gorgeous in this. Toasted pine nuts, that lovely texture. Herbs, a little bit of sage, thyme, parsley. You can use all of the three because, you know, in the supermarkets, they have three herbs in a pack, which is very clever. So you chop all that off, mix it in with your breadcrumbs and then lots of butter. And that's it, Claire. That's it, rolled in tin foil. That will keep. You just heat that up when your turkey's resting. That can go into the oven, or what I'll be doing is slicing that, putting it on the ham and the breast of turkey.
Okay, so you're heating it up in your Christmas cracker.
Keeps it really moist.
Okay, so so the butter is keeping it moist in the first instance, and then the heat, or the way you've packaged it then is keeping it moist when you're heating it up, because it can dry out.
Yeah, about 20 minutes in the oven takes that. Or if you want a really kind of crispy, kind of crunchy stuffing, you put it onto a dish, a little bit of butter on top, and then just pop it into the hot oven for about 15 minutes. But it's already done.
Well, listen, if people are listening, the number is 0870 32 32 32. That's the WhatsApp number. Get the last minute questions in. We're not short of them, I have to tell you. We have an awful lot. So this person has 14 adults and a handful of children on Christmas Eve. I'm going to make a baked ham and a goat's cheese tart. But what else could you suggest to serve as sides or add-ons to wow my guests for a buffet-style help-yourself dinner?
I personally love roasted vegetables, because you don't have, you know, you've only got four rings at home, you know, and you're not got a pot of carrots, a pot of sprouts, and you're working out, can you do it in the morning, when do you do it? Roasted vegetables, again, in alongside the potatoes. So, like I said earlier, tray hot, really warm, you're talking root vegetables, you're talking about carrots, you're talking about parsnips, red onion, garlic, rosemary, thyme, you know, whatever vegetables you have, cut them into kind of corners and chunks that are going to caramelize into a bowl. And rather than putting the oil over and back the tray like you're playing X's and O, put the oil into the vegetables in the bowl, toss them, season it, because then the seasoning sticks to the oil that sticks to the vegetables, and everything is uniform when it's seasoned, into the hot tray. When that ham is coming out, in and just roast those vegetables. Keep the cabin door closed. That oven door needs to stay closed. And you're talking about 30 minutes to roast beautiful root vegetables.
Lovely. What about something beetrooty with that goat
red cheese? Cabbage.
Yeah. Beetroot roasted with balsamic is beautiful. And you can do that a day or two ahead. Pardon me. You can whole roast the beetroots, cover them in tin foil a day or two ahead, then peel them, cut them into nice big chunks. And then when you're reheating them, because we do this in the restaurant with some balsamic vinegar, olive oil, maybe a little sprig of rosemary or thyme, is gorgeous. And salt. It's so nice. And it works really well. It's a classic combination of the goat's cheese and the beetroot.
Yeah,
it's
and
so
I think
delicious.
A lot of people go towards a braised red cabbage at Christmas, and that'll work very well with the goat's cheese.
I love red cabbage.
And the leftover for your cheese board the next day.
Yeah, it's true.
Nevin, someone here who's familiar with your turkey breast roulade, does it work equally well with boned out turkey legs?
Yeah, it does. And Claire, this is kind of a new recipe for me that we've done for the show this Christmas. And we made a stuffing like the one I told you about. I put sausage meat into it and I got a breast of turkey. So I flattened it out, whereas this listener is working the turkey legs, which is the brown meat. A lot of more sinew now, a lot more work into, to be honest with you. You get your butcher to do that and then flatten it out, and you're making like a roulade. So you spread over your lovely stuffing, tie it with string into the oven, brush it with a little bit of melted butter. And one really interesting is a little bit of maple syrup in the butter. It kind of caramelizes and you get really crispy skin. Something that I've just kind of come up with this year.
Lovely.
It's really, really tasty. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very nice.
So you think that would work just as well then with that?
Absolutely.
Oh, here's a controversial one now. I need advice in relation to cooking a turkey crown in an air fryer.
It won't
Brian,
fit.
You don't like you don't
it won't
like air
fit,
fryer,
Claire.
Anyway.
That's my answer.
Yeah, no, but
well, I've never done
it. Let's say this person has a massive air fryer and you don't like them.
I don't. No,
no. You don't?
I
Let's
don't.
Be honest
yeah,
now.
I need to put it out there. I don't like them. And you know, one has arrived in our house.
Right.
It slipped in the back door.
It's
handy.
Do you know what it's handy for? A little toasted sandwich.
It is handy. Okay. I mean, some people do their roast potatoes in the air fryer. I've never cooked a chicken, but some people swear by it.
You didn't do your Christmas cake in it, no?
No, I didn't. Okay. I didn't.
Yeah. So you're not that much in love with it.
No, yeah. I don't. Yeah. I use it for a few bits and bobs, but I don't do all the adventurous things that you see people online. Do you know what it's good for as well? It's baked potatoes. It's very handy for them because you're not putting the oven on for it. You're so skeptical. Nevin, you like it, the air fryer.
Well, hold on now. Hold on here. Do I like it? I have one. I don't use it too often, but it is good for kind of cooking things and reheating things. And for roasting vegetables, Brian, it is actually very good, you know, with some peppers and red onion, a little bit of oil and balsamic. I think it does a great job.
Well, look, especially at Christmas, because you're struggling for space. Sorry, Brian. Poor
you're
going to
use it out. Brendan will be using it. Don't worry. You'll manage, Brian.
Catherine would like a tasty sticky glaze for the ham. Oh, a glaze that actually sticks to the surface instead of running off the ham into the roasting dish. Catherine, you are my kind of person. Like, there's a lot of glazes that just run off.
We have a few tips, don't we? Because we were doing it yesterday. And first of all, parchment paper on the tray is the key. Mm. Going to save on the wash up. Never glaze a hot ham. Glaze it when it's cold. And then you crisscross it. Stud it with cloves if you want to. But apricot jam is beautiful. Ginger, a little bit of ginger, balsamic, so it's kind of sweet and sour. Mm. Root ginger is fantastic and gives a lovely sticky kind of a glaze. Yes, to this one here I have the allspice that I mentioned, balsamic, a little bit of vinegar and also some jam, like the apricot jam, works really, really well.
Does it stay on it though?
Oh, you keep brushing it, sorry, 4 or 5 times. Not just once. Don't do it once, put it in the oven. Yeah. It's going
to
run off.
We're not supposed to open the oven.
Oh, don't worry about that. You do, I do.
Yeah, and you know, for that listener that's chasing that, you know, they're looking for a thicker one, which we've given a recipe today, which is the mustard in it. I put a little bit of sherry, shot of sherry, and ground clove. So if you're not a fan of the studded clove, put the ground clove into the glaze, so you're still getting the maximum flavour. And this one is, for me, it's quite kind of sticky and you brush it on, you know. What we did yesterday was beautiful. This glaze is beautiful. You baste it. This one will stick. It will cling. But you need to be careful, because in about 20, 25 minutes in the oven, that's when the honey starts to caramelise. Oh. And you just get all this. You know the way it goes from beautiful the ends and gorgeous to almost burnt.
Yeah.
So it's about 20, 25 minutes with this particular ham glaze on.
The Coramoc. Yeah. A listener says, my wife is from Cork and has always been going on, in inverted commas, about having spiced beef for Christmas. I told her if she bought it, I'd sort it. Now I've got to sort it. Any advice?
Wow. Yeah, it is very much a southern, you know, tradition, is spiced beef. And look, there's some fantastic, we saw it yesterday, we were in Cork, fantastic butchers, and that's their trade to do that, because, you know, you're talking about a Pacific cut, you're talking about like Silver's Out, and it's a dry rub that goes on to it. Mm-hmm. It tends to be eaten cold and already cooked for you most of the time, Claire. So if somebody's bought it raw and they're going to go through that process, they've got a process in their hands here, because it is a particular, you know, somebody will say it's a secret spice rub that certain butchers have. They'll put it on as a dry rub, and then they'll very, very slowly cook it, and then when it cools it gets sliced, and it typically gets eaten throughout the day in the morning for a brunch
cold
and, yeah, typically cold, but you know, it can be eaten hot, but that's when
slow
it's
slow cooker
best.
Might be a good way with a little bit of stock, maybe a little bit of cider or something like that to keep it moist.
Put it into the air fryer for an hour and see how you get on. Don't do that, by the way. Don't do that, your wife in Cork will not be happy. Couple of questions coming in about gravy, getting the consistency right. Nevin, you might take this first. Anne wants to know, is there any way to thicken the gravy that she's making? Paula wants to know how to have a good depth of flavour in the gravy.
Well, I'll tell you what I've done already is make a head gravy. I have my base done, roasting some chicken wings in the oven with some vegetables, cover it with some water, a little bit of white wine, a little bit of Madeira. Madeira is fantastic in the gravy, so it is. And it's a fortified wine and not an expensive Madeira. It's really, really lovely. So that's all ready to go now. Then with your turkey juices, a little bit of flour goes into that. If you don't want flour, you can thicken with a touch of corn flour.
Yeah, how do you avoid the lumps then with the, if you're throwing the flour in?
You just pass it through a sieve. Okay. It's as simple as that at the end. I mean, you can finish it with a nice little bit of red currant jelly for a bit of acidity. Some fresh thyme is beautiful in the gravy.
So if the gravy is lumpy, you just pass it through a
sieve
and then
blend it.
Everything is fine.
Yeah,
let's not panic.
Absolutely, don't worry. I mean, it's because they haven't mixed the flour in, if they're going to use it. If you're going to use corn flour, mix it with a little bit of cold water, thicken it. You don't want a heavy, gloopy gravy. That's one thing you don't want. What I do with mine, I finish it with Madeira and a little splash of cream, and it's gorgeous.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you put anything in there, like a bit of balsamic or Worcester, any of those?
No,
flavors?
I never do Worcester now for turkey gravy. For beef, yes.
Yeah.
And even for duck, like I'm going to have goose, so I'm going to do a honey and clove gravy. So that's a reduction of cloves, honey, balsamic vinegar, some beef stock, a little bit of tomato ketchup, and it's beautiful.
Tomato ketchup
in
there
really
as well.
Yeah, it's really good. Mm. And then you just cook that all down. pardon me, Claire, get a gravy consistency, pass it through a sieve, and that'll keep for 4 to 5 days in your fridge.
Right.
With duck or goose, it's great, or
so,
pork.
I know it's hard to describe consistency, but you just said there it shouldn't be gloopy.
Yeah,
so
gloopy, thick and gloopy, like a light honey consistency is what you want for a gravy, like that it's going to coat the meat, not run away all over the meat. Am I right, Brian?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we become very reliant on our gravy because we tend to overcook our meats in Ireland. You know, where a gravy or a jus is really just adding but not taking away from the flavour of the protein, the turkey or whatever it is, ham you've cooked.
Emma has guests for Christmas, including a celiac and a vegan. So that's a big challenge for her. Any tips on dishes she can make that are appropriate for everyone to eat? That's a good way to approach it. Keep everybody happy. She's sorted on the vegan front with food, but wonders what she needs to do around the celiac foods.
Well, I think like anything that you're going to use flour in, swap it out for potato starch, whether it's in your soups or in your gravy for thickening, you know, and then everyone's getting the same and, you know, everybody's inclusive of it. So you're not singling out because, you know, celiac is a condition. You know, vegan is a lifestyle choice. You know, people have made that choice. They tend to police it themselves. They tend to let you know. They tend to tell you what they want and what they eat and what they like. So, again, it's Christmas Day. You kind of need to know who's coming to your house.
Yeah.
It might be, you know.
And you can get gluten-free breadcrumbs.
Yeah.
You know, there's no reason why that stuffing couldn't be made with gluten-free breadcrumbs and just leave out the butter if it's for the vegan too, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's ways around
there
it,
and you're
still serving a lovely
Absolutely
Christmas
right.
dinner.
That's exactly
but you
it.
Catered for everybody who's there, right? How long will a Christmas cake last if it's well wrapped?
Well,
in
you
foil?
Answer that one now,
sure,
Claire.
Months.
With the amount of brandy you've put in, Claire, I think about 2 years.
I've had. Oh no, this listener has one since last year that didn't get eaten due to people being sick and house renovations. It's kind of forgotten about. I don't know about that now. A year old.
I think it's well stored. I mean, like you know, you see puddings being matured for 24, you know, same with cakes. Once there's plenty of alcohol in it, just slice it and taste it, and know.
And you can always top it up with a bit of brandy.
If there's any left,
definitely. Yeah, come in your house for the Christmas dinner.
Listen,
brilliant.
You've taken me nicely into desserts now, and sometimes you can't face the big heavy dessert.
Yes.
You know, after the Christmas dinner, what do you think? Something lemony, maybe.
Well, that's true. A lemon posset is lovely. It's a reaction of cream and lemon juice with passion fruit. It's the easiest dessert that we do in the cookery school, Claire. You get double cream or whipping cream. You put in some sugar, some lemon zest and juice, and then you put in vanilla if you want. You can use vanilla extract and passion fruit. And you bring it to the boil and it cooks in about 2 to 3 minutes. And it's a reaction of the lemon juice that sets the cream. No gelatin, no eggs. It's fantastic, lovely and light. Well, we bought for you tiramisu, one of my favourites.
Lovely.
And it's really, really lovely. It's a light dessert. This one I'm going to be doing, I'm going to do a kind of like a family kind of a dish, individual ones. And I just love this dessert. So you get the sponge fingers. Me and Brian made this yesterday. We soaked it in coffee and Kahlua for about maybe 15 minutes. And then we made a lovely kind of like a mascarpone cream. So we did.
You soaked it in the liquid for 15 minutes,
yeah,
did
about
you?
10, 15
Do they not disintegrate?
Yeah. No,
because they're a dry. Ladies' fingers are very dry. They're almost biscuity. So they'll continue to absorb and they'll also only take what they want and they leave the rest behind, which is why when you properly get to the base and the bottom of a tiramisu, you should have the liquid.
I made a tiramisu recently and that was my mistake. I was just like dipping them and twisting them and taking them out because I thought that they would just fall apart.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. Yeah.
So I always... You're saying soak them.
I would in the dish. Sorry, Brian, go on.
No, I was just going to say, put them into the container you're going to serve it in rather than you dipping it into the liquid. Pour the liquid in on top so you're not really bothered and just let them
sit. Let it settle.
So, you know,
that's where the break, exactly.
Yeah. Give it another
and
go again.
The mixture is very easy. It's 3 egg yolks. You whip that with a little tub of mascarpone, some sugar, and then you separately whip some double cream, and then you separately whip some egg whites. Honestly, this will be done in 10 minutes. It's one of the easiest desserts. Lovely and light and finished with really good cocoa powder that we've done there.
Yeah. You can close that up now because I'm going to eat that.
It's good. Well, it's a good swap for your Christmas cake, isn't it, Brian?
It's not a bad swap. Listen, all of your recipes, and there's so many up there that you've very kindly given us, they're on rte.ie/todaycb. Sorry to all the people whose questions we didn't answer. The best of luck on the 25th and the 24th and the 23rd, because the cooks are going to be cooking from here on in, aren't
don't
they?
Don't overcomplicate it. Just enjoy it and don't give too much choice. You're there to enjoy the time with your family and friends. Am I right, Brian?
And write down today what you're going to do. Put some time in, plan, because you want to be the guest with the guests that are there. So you need to enjoy it. And look, everybody have a fun time and enjoy it with the family.
And the same to you too as well.
Thank you.
And you're so good. You come into us every year and
we love it.
Do our Christmas cooking clinic and we love it. So thank you very much.
We want the cake every year now.
Happy Christmas to you. We'll take a break back after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.